Off the Ball are bringing you more live commentary than ever.
The way you come out of the gates, baby.
Catch every Steelers game live on OTB Sports Radio.
Steelers with the touchdown.
Just download the Off the Ball app now.
Well, it's fair to say it's been a pretty wild day at the Etihad. Manchester City 2, Arsenal 2, and I think myself and Brian Barry Murphy are still trying to catch our breath about 15 minutes after full time. One of the most exciting, enjoyable first 45 minutes we've seen in a long, long time, and then just one of the most one-sided second halves, and an unbelievably resilient Arsenal, full of character, full of bravery, but unfortunately undone right at the very end by John Stones. Sum up that game there, Brian.
I don't know.
In under 60 seconds.
Yeah, my first one on Off the Ball. I don't understand if you like it.
They're all like this.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, sign me up. I thought in the first half, I don't think it's unfair to say both teams were brilliant. I thought, like, for the bit you summarised early on, City looked at their best, most intent, looking as if they could create chances and score at will. And Arsenal looked as if they were going to have a long day. Rodri's injury could be significant and could have played a big part in our first half. How much, we don't know. But from whatever, Arsenal showed that they had the substance to withstand the pressure and start to go into the game. And at the point where they got their goal from, there were signs that they were just starting to get a foothold in the game. And from there towards, from then until the end of the first half, they looked like a proper team who could mix it with the very, very best, which Man City are.
And the second half, then... I don't know how you, as a coach, as somebody so invested in the tactical side of the game, looks at it from both sides. Because Arsenal, firstly, you need to put your body on the line. You need to be, despite what Trossard did, you need to be incredibly disciplined, pick your battles, accept what you're trying to do, even though you're a top team, accept that you're rarely going to have a touch inside the opposition half. But then on the flip of that, Manchester City, with all the attacking talent that they have, were reduced to basically pot shots from centre backs for a long period. How do you look at that second half?
I think from a spectator's point of view, the second half was ruined to a degree by the Trossard, because they were just starting to look so dangerous, and it was going to be an exhilarating second half. I think from Mikel Arteta's point of view, his mind was made up from half time that they were going to sit in, be compact, play 5-4. And essentially give City nothing to aim at centrally, and say, go on then, have pot shots from distance if you want it, or give up some wide areas. But like I mentioned towards the end of the game, City got very, very narrow towards the end of the game, and as such, they created very, very little towards the course of the second half.
So let's go through it then, as much as we can. Erling Haaland, 8 minutes in, scores his 10th goal of the season in just 5 games. His 100th goal for Manchester City in 105 games. He is an absolute phenom. We have never seen the likes of him before. It was peak Haaland, a clinical finish. And for the first 22 minutes of that game, Ilkay Gundogan hit the post. City were as good as we've seen probably in 18 months.
Yeah, I think you got an insight into how dangerous it is to play an aggressive game against this team, because Arsenal looked like they wanted to be on the front foot in the early stages. Savinho spinned inside on one pass, there was space in behind, and if you release the pass at the right time to Erling, who makes the movement off the shoulder, then he's unstoppable. So you can understand why Gabriel, Saliba and the rest of the team wanted to defend deep against him. And for the rest of the game, if you look at it, he was largely anonymous based on how deep and how well they defended in the box. So that's why so many teams are so slow to come out and to press high against this team. And I thought they did a great job.
Did the first 20 minutes in a strange way show that Arteta got his tactics right at the end of last season?
Oh, completely. I mean, I was sat on my own talking to myself on the way to the game, saying, I, and listen, I'm not Mikel Arteta, but I was thinking, he's surely not going to fall for that one where Rodri says to him, well, you should have come and had a go at us. I mean, Man City want everyone to come and have a go at him, because it's so dangerous when you do and they kill you. And I thought they got that tactic spot on, but for the rest of the game, they sat in, were compact. And I think Arsenal are as good as I've seen at defending deep and remaining compact in the box. You know, people speak about Simeone and Atletico Madrid coming here and giving a masterclass in a 0-0 in the Champions League years ago. But that was better than anything I've saw in terms of that from two of the best centre-backs I've ever seen.
So then, 20 minutes into the game, is it Rodri's injury? So Rodri goes off, and that's going to be a story as the week goes on. You rarely see him go down in that sort of pain. Looked like he was holding his knee, there were tears in his eyes. That could be a big storyline over the next few days. The way that Arsenal come back, is it down as much to his injury, or is it the goal and the timing of the goal and City's defending that just, that's a natural momentum that they get back by equalising?
I think it's a combination of both. I think no matter what you say, he is that important and he is that big, and if he's not playing and Kevin isn't playing, then a lot of the threat from distance is gone, and as such you can then stay in the box. Saliba and Gabriel can stay in the penalty spot, the nice space, and say to the centre backs like Diaz and even Kyle Walker, like you referenced, they've scored like one goal in 4 or 5 years, so the odds are in your favour. I think if Rodri plays or Kevin plays, you can't get that space up because they're either going to create a shot, which will probably go in, or they're going to provide a killer cross to Erling because they're that good at it. I think that's just the difference between how potent City are with him in the team and how not.
And funnily enough, it really felt like they missed Rodri in the second half. Oh,
absolutely.
If Rodri was on the pitch, he's getting a goal in that second half. He knows when to make that step in, whereas it felt Kovacic and the defenders, Arsenal were happy. Like, Ruben Dias had five shots. Yeah. Like, Ruben Dias doesn't score goals.
No, you take a chances. I think, listen, he's a great defender, but he's just not that player. I think, and Rodri under the radar has become a real goal-scoring threat from that position. It's not been, you wouldn't normally associate a player who plays that holy midfield role scoring goals, but he's a scorer of really significant goals from that position because of how good a player he is.
The second Arsenal goal then, the set piece, that now is 25 goals from set pieces since the start of last season. Nico Hover, their set piece coach, so you've been working here at Manchester City, you know the standard of coaching, they know what Arsenal are going to bring. How is it then that Arsenal are able to come here and score one and should have scored two from pretty much the exact same corner kick? What happens that City can't anticipate that? What is it that makes Arsenal so good at it?
No, I think both teams will be looking for things they like the look of in terms of a matchup. But I think, I don't know for certain, but I imagine Arsenal looked at the setup where Erling Haaland's at the near post, and he's a huge physical threat. So if they can miss him out at the back post, they like the look of Gabriel against Kyle Walker, and they pinned Edison effectively. So you can see the amount of work that goes into that, identifying that, and then being able to deliver the skill on the match day is the player's responsibility. But Arsenal did that, and the one before he should have scored, and the one you could see that Pep was slightly anxious. You saw him going towards the set piece coach, saying, "What happened there?" And it was an identical delivery and an identical movement, and he just managed to apply the finishing touch in the second instant.
And then 7 minutes, 8 minutes into injury time at the end of the first half. I thought the referee was going to blow it up. Trossard is sent off. Initially, I thought it was for the barge, which felt quite harsh, but kicking the ball away. Second time in three games, Arsenal have had a player sent off for kicking the ball away. Obviously, different circumstances. That's going to kill Mikel Arteta tonight, that sort of indiscipline.
Yeah, sport, isn't it, is littered with like what ifs and like, oh, how did he play over a lot of time? But I think from Arsenal's point of view, the reaction was what he would have wanted. Like, they showed that they took a lot of adversity, you know, conceding early and then looking as if they're going to get overwhelmed, but coming back into having a man sent off and displaying what they did in the second half will give them a lot of belief in terms of how they can compete with this team throughout the course of the season. I think it's a pretty significant day for Arsenal in terms of what they've shown here today.
What about City's performance then in the second half? And you almost have to start all these conversations with, who are we to question Pep Guardiola and their tactics? The fact that he left three centre-halves and Kovacic on, and they seem to be dominating possession, dominating the shots. As a layman watching and as a neutral, the assumption would be you bring Foden on for one of them, you sacrifice a defender, more creative player, Arsenal are threatening absolutely nothing. Why does he stick with, even when he's taking a defender off, he's bringing another one on?
I think he probably just felt comfortable that the longer the game went, the more they would tire out and they would eventually create enough chances. I think he would have been disappointed by the impact of the wide players. And like I said to you, I just felt as if they got a little bit too narrow too early, which allowed Arsenal to control them. But even Jack did that when he came on, so I think he would have been a little bit disappointed with that. But in the end, he trusts that the players in those positions can provide enough key moments to give them a chance to win the game, and eventually they will take one. And you could say, well, he got lucky today because they got one in the last kick of the game, but that's his belief. And you don't often see him take off a defender and put on an attacking player because he doesn't really believe in it.
And they have an incredible ability not to lose these games at home. It's nearly 2 years since they were last beaten at home. It's nearly a decade now since Arsenal last one here, and you go back and I think it's 2018 the last time they lost a game at home against one of their rivals. They know how to eke out whatever. It's, hindsight's an easy thing. It's the last kick of the game, they get the equaliser, they're pretty much beating all ends up, and we're talking about a very different thing, but there's a lot of character in both these teams.
I think there's something different than Arsenal. I think City, and I'm guessing Pep, they know they're coming, and they know that they're a real contender based on how resilient and how robust they are. They have the physicality to compete with City, and I think that's why it's such a big game and such an intriguing competition this season, because they're not just, I suppose they are like Liverpool a few years ago, where they're credible contenders and they can win it.
Are Liverpool credible contenders when you look at how strong these two are?
I think they are. I think because Slot's that good. I think he has a way of playing that the players will relish and enjoy, and he won't be. I don't think he'll be. They've had a reasonably easy start, which is the only thing, and they're probably. I don't think they're at this level yet. I think if Liverpool come here and they go behind in the first half, and they were doing what Arsenal were doing, I mean, your concern would be that they wouldn't be able to eke out the chances and result that Arsenal did, for whatever way it's come about. And I think Arteta is hugely responsible.
Because you really have to sacrifice yourself. Like, what Havertz did in that game. Like, he was was the first line of defence. Barely got a look in and attacking-wise, but was happy to do his job for his team.
Yeah, I don't believe Liverpool are near the standard of Arsenal purely based on what you just said. The players here, like Simeone at Madrid, they're willing to do all of the defensive stuff that takes so much out of your body for the team. And whatever you say about Mikel Arteta, he has the ability to convince the players to do that, and that's a very special quality to have in a group of players like that.
I can't promise you every game is going to be like this one, unfortunately. Your first time in co-commentary with us, so you've been working here at Manchester City for the last 3 years, you've just left. No pressure, the last guy that was in your job is now the manager of Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely, good friend of mine.
he's good. Obviously an incredible learning experience. Tell us what you took from it and tell us what you want to do next.
Yeah, at this place you can see when the games come about, the players can play at a certain intensity and with a certain skill level that blows you away like it did to us in the first 25 minutes. Of course, what you don't see is the amount of work that goes into that in training and from the very first day of pre-season, like I said to you, from 5 or 6 years ago. So that's what I took from it, the amount of skill and dedication to honing these crafts in training that the players put into is something that has to be replicated. And it's the same at Chelsea. Maresca is the same, and it's no surprise to me that they're doing as well as they are, because no matter how profile these players are, and I'm looking at Raheem Sterling here, the same, those players are the ones who want to work the hardest to be the best, and once you give them a taste of that, I think you can get them all on board, and that's what Pep's done. I think Enzo will do at Chelsea, and you can see Arteta at Arsenal, they're all in.
So you're taking a little bit of a break now and assessing your options.
I'm available for work.
Only the big games.
Alright,
Brian Murphy, absolute pleasure.
So,
thanks for joining us.
Off the Ball are bringing you more live commentary than ever.
The way you come out of the gates, baby.
Catch every Steelers game live on OTB Sports Radio.
Steelers with the touchdown.
Just download the Off the Ball app now.